All right, so we continue our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I love the imagery that is used here. Jesus uses this imagery. Paul uses this imagery. He talks about a treasure that you and I have been given. For everyone who is in Christ, everyone who has accepted Christ, repented, been baptized, he said there is a gift. He calls it a treasure. He talks about a mystery. In different places, he uses different words, but it's what he's referring to is the Messiah living inside of us. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, we're promised at that point the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so part of God, the Spirit of God, moves inside of you. That is a mystery. How does God live inside of you? And what does God do? What does the Spirit do when he's inside of you? The Spirit will motivate you and say, hey, you need to do this. You'll be doing something. The Spirit say, no, I don't think so. I don't think we're going there. And you say, man, I just felt really bad about what I said. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, we don't talk like that anymore. We don't go to those places. And Paul uses the word mystery or a treasure. Now, Jesus tells this story as a parable a couple of times. He said the guy was a pearl merchant, and he went out and he found the perfect pearl. He calls it the pearl of great price. In fact, John Steinbeck ripped that story off and wrote an incredible novel called The Pearl. But it says the man went and sold everything he had and went back to buy the one perfect pearl. Now, obviously, he's talking about salvation. He's saying the man all his life had collected and had this and had that, but when he found what was perfect, he let all that other stuff go so he could get the one thing that mattered. And that's what Paul talks about, that mystery. The mystery that Jesus Christ, or the treasure, I mean, when you think of treasure, you're thinking of gold and silver and diamonds and rubies. He says that treasure is found inside of us. Inside of frail human beings. In fact, here's the statement I want you to get. The Spirit of God lives and works inside our frail frames. Because these frames are dying away. They're wearing out, but yet God is using it more and more. So if you'll stand out of respect for God's word, we'll pick this up in verse 7. Remember in verse 6, the last thing he said was that God sends his light to live inside of us, and that light should shine through us. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, this is interesting. It'll work, jars of clay. That's very fragile. You bake them, but they'll break. But that's not even the right word. It's shells. We have this treasure in jars of shell. Very, very fragile, something that could break very easily. That's us. To show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are, and we can all identify with this. You ought to highlight this verse in your Bible for future reference. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. What in the world is going on in our world? What is happening in our country? What is happening in our schools? But not in despair, because we have Jesus. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned by God. We're even struck down, but we're not dead yet. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. You can be seated. All right, so he points out some goals here for our life. And some of these may be easy. You may go, yeah, I do that. And then other parts you're gonna go, well, that kind of stings. So we'll break this down. The first goal is to showcase Jesus. Anybody here like The Price is Right? Come on. This is your showcase. Yeah. Yeah, this is Jesus' showcase. You guys are Jesus' showcase. It's not a car. It's not a vacation. Our lives are to showcase Jesus. Now, here's what I found out. If you watch a lot of these performers, preachers, that, you know, they're carrying on and jumping around and throwing things and blessing napkins and whatever, you'll notice the showcase is about them. Here's what I can tell you. The showcase cannot be about you and Jesus. It can't be. There's no double billing when it comes to Jesus. So how do I live my life day to day in such a way that I showcase Jesus? Well, that's going to involve my mouth, how I respond to somebody at the counter when I'm buying something. It's going to be how I react, even driving. I know that's a hard one around here. I understand that. Where I choose to go, what I choose to eat, drink, smoke, my sexuality, all that is involved because people are watching and people are saying, man, is that that's the showcase of Jesus? That's not what I expected. Now, they're not processing it like that. They just look at it and go, well, if that's what it is, I'm not interested. So how do you and I realign our lives so that they are a showcase? So that even though all we have is this fragile body, and let's be honest, it's sick, it hurts, it gets tired, it runs out of energy. A lot of times the things it wants to do are the wrong things. So he says, we have this great mystery, this great treasure of God. It's in us. It's not out there somewhere. Hey, we got to go out to California and try to find this treasure. No, we don't have to go dig anything up. God has put the greatest treasure of all inside of us. Don't miss that gift. And don't ignore the Holy Spirit, because when the Spirit says, hey, we're going to do this, I want you to be a part of this, I want you to run away from that, that is God giving you the opportunity to do what's right. Philippians chapter 1, you know the last part of this, for me to live is Christ and die is gain, but we don't always catch the first part. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be alarmed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But he says, my expectation and my hope and my prayer for courage is that my body will speak to other people about God. Whatever that takes, whatever that looks like, with my words, with my life, with my attitude, with my actions, that I will imitate God. There's an old statement about martyrs and tyrants. This is by Soren Kierkegaard, if you're into old philosophy. The tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule begins. Well, that's obviously the case with Jesus. And the old saying in church history is that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Every time they would kill a Christian, it would just make the church stronger. And that's happened over and over and over again throughout church history. When people have the courage to stand, and like Paul said, whether by life or by death, I want my body to be that showcase for Jesus. Now he says, we carry around in our bodies the death of Christ. What is he talking about? Well, why do you think every time you come here, we have the Lord's Supper? Because what were we commanded? Every time you get together, you remember the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. If you don't get the rest of it, that's okay. You come in, you spend time with God, you confess your sin, and you take communion. That is that moment where you're connecting with God. But what does it say? You're always remembering the death of Jesus. That's what happens when we take communion. And everybody in the world thinks this is a pretty strange custom, quite obviously. But nonetheless, that's our goal. Now, beside my bed, I I have a magnifying glass. My ears really are okay, my eyes not so much. I have trifocals and I still can't see anything. And so I have a magnifying glass in my drawer. So sometimes when I'm trying to read a prescription on a bottle or whatever, I've got that magnifying glass there to work on my behalf. That's what I believe you and I are supposed to be. The world sees Jesus, maybe not at all, or they see him as small or insignificant. It's our job to put that magnifying glass up and make Jesus look really big so they can see him as he really is. And then the second part, he talks about the goal of finishing the race. Now, this doesn't get talked about a lot, and if it does, it's taught in the wrong way. So I'm going to be blunt, a little brutal. You okay with this? You ready? Jesus says this, and it says it in the end of Revelation. He who is faithful until the end will be saved. Now look, I am not the judge, but I am the teacher. So I want you to understand this principle. Because often, I'm not preaching anybody into heaven or out of hell or vice versa. That's all God's call. But literally, you talk to people that are like, oh, Fred raised his hand when he was in seventh grade. I'm sure he's fine. And then they tell me what Fred's life was like for the rest of his life. And you're like, okay. Well, I'm just not going to talk about Fred. You can talk about Fred. I'm going to talk about Jesus. But it says we are to be faithful to the end. Now, we've all had moments where we've walked away, come back, walked away, come back, been frustrated, been hurt. But we are to be faithful till this story's over. And that's a tough one to hear, because there's a lot of people running around that are sure they're saved that haven't been close to church, worship, serving, giving for decades, and they think they're fine. And then I got people in front of me here who are doing your very best to live it every day, and you're wondering if you're saved because you're thinking, did I do enough? You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace. But if you're saved, you're going to change. You can't say I accepted Jesus when I was 7 and then show a track record that looks like Satan your whole life. If you've been saved, there ought to be evidence of that. Would somebody agree with that? We've got to finish the race. And I guess if there's any encouragement that I can give to us at this stage is we are so close to the end. We are so close to the end of our personal races or to the second coming of Jesus. Don't quit. Don't you dare give up now. We've come so, so far. Now this guy's got a story. I'm going to get this guy's name right. His name is Goran Kropp. All right, here he is. This joker got on his bicycle in Sweden and rode to Nepal, climbed Mount Everest without oxygen, without Sherpas, without guides, went to the top, climbed down, got back on his bike, and rode his bike back to Sweden. I got nothing to say to this guy. I don't know. It's like, wow. Now, he didn't just wake up on Thursday and say, you know what, I think I'll go climb Mount Everest. There was years of preparation to get his lungs ready, to get his legs ready, whatever he had to do. But the point is, he didn't quit. He saw it through until the end. Now look, I've used this analogy with God many times. God, I may crawl in. I may have to come in with my fingernails scraping, but I'm coming in. We may not run in with our heads high. We may just barely get in the gate, but I intend to get in because I'm going to be faithful until the end. Hebrews 12, my goodness, there's three separate messages here, but I'm going to try to unpack these real quick. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that would be people in the spirit realm that are encouraging you and me. You know, Matthew, Mark, Esther, Martha, those people, but also your great uncle, your aunts, your friends. There's all these people we can't see that are cheering us on. He said, because they're there, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Because they're telling us, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Number two, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Number three, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Great cloud of witnesses cheering me on, don't quit. Jesus died for you. He set his eyes on the victory. You set your eyes on Jesus, don't quit. And then what's the last part? What's the last part? I don't want you to lose heart. What happens if you lose heart? You quit. He said, don't quit. We're going to win. And then we get to the last part. And the last part is the goal to see grace overflow. Now, that 15th verse is worth going back and looking at it in your Bibles or iPhones or scrolls, whatever you got. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. What gives glory to God? More and more and more people coming to know Christ. More and more people. Every time somebody accepts Jesus, there's more glory coming toward God, because people are taking Jesus up on the gift that he's given, this treasure, this pearl that's been out there waiting. And people finally say, you know what? Enough. This world doesn't satisfy. Give me the pearl. Give me the treasure. Give me the great mystery of God. Give me God's Spirit. If you've not accepted Jesus, go out to room three. And we have people out there in Guidance Point, and they will help you through your whole process of how to get saved. But he says, and he really emphasizes this grace overflowing as more and more people accept Jesus. And when they do, more and more glory goes to God. Now, I readily admit that all of us, I don't care how good of a Christian is, there's one or two names I could bring up that would light a torch inside your soul. Yes? There is for me. It doesn't even have to be the right person. Just the right name can trigger me. It's understandable. But if you and I could spend 5 seconds in hell, we would never want even our worst enemies to go there. If we could see how horrible and how painful and how forever hell really is, we would never want that for anybody. That's why we pray. That's why we go. That's why we plant churches. That's why we encourage you to invite your neighbors and friends and coworkers, because there's so many people, 50,000 in this area, that they don't know yet. The pearl's out there, but nobody's told them about it. The treasure's right under their feet, but nobody's invited them to come have it yet. But our job is to rejoice when we see the grace of God getting bigger and bigger. Huge revival at South Carolina University this week. Thousands of kids got saved. In Brazil, the largest baptism we think that's ever happened in Brazil, in the Amazon River, they had 14,500 people that were baptized in one day. One day. Now, in Acts chapter 2, we're told that at the end days, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all mankind. Well, that started certainly right there in Acts 2. It started right there. Right? We get 3,000 men saved that first day. But there's never been 8 billion people on the earth before. So now is going to be the greatest harvest in the history of mankind, because there's so many people. And there's so many people that desperately need Jesus, and that grace of God, we want it to flow to more and more and more and more people, locally, in Florida, around the United States, around the world. I'll ask you to pray today. This is the opening day. We've had Cy Huffer here on our stage. We've prayed for him. We've given a good deal of money to help start the church, but our church in Naples, Florida starts right now. It's the getting ready to start. 2 years of planning and preparation, and I've been down there. I don't know if you've been to Naples, but it is hard, hard ground. We saw one evangelical church in the whole region. No, there's no Christians. It's an atheistic culture. And so pray for Cy and his team today, that the harvest starts today in Naples, Florida, okay? That's your commission. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I've always loved this verse, and it's tucked into the back, and when you read Titus, nobody goes to Titus unless you're talking about how to train elders, because it's just not used that much. But it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Okay, grace is getting what we don't deserve. We deserve hell, we get heaven, we get forgiveness. The grace of God came as a person. Who was it? Well, it was Jesus. The great treasure, the great mystery of all time is that God himself, the creator of the universe, became a human being to bring salvation to each one of us. Jesus is the mystery. Jesus is the great treasure. Jesus is the pearl of great price. I'll finish with this. This is Voddie Baucham. I love Voddie because he just says it like it is. He's pretty blunt. He says, God does not need you, and he's going to prove it one day because you're going to die, and the world's going to keep on spinning at the same rate it was before you were here, and somebody is going to get all your stuff. That's just pretty good, isn't it? Now, that being the case, what should I be preparing for? Should I be working on finishing the race? Well, if that's your struggle, should I be working on getting the showcase spotlights off of me and onto Jesus? Or should I be focused on making sure that God's grace goes to more and more and more people? So, Father, as we finish this message, I don't know what you want to do with it in DeLand or Bunnell or here in Ormond or online. But your spirit is so amazing because you are omnipresent. You can be all places at the same time. And so you're working inside of each one of our minds. Lord, whatever it is it the showcase? Is it the race? Or is it the grace? We all have things we need to work on. Father, for those who've not found the treasure yet, that this would be the day that they would realize, I want that pearl of great price. Lord, work in us. Work through these frail bodies. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.